So we talked about the person who works and toils under the corrupt executive or boss last time, huh? Okay, so now 22. What hungry ghosts suffer with deprivation while having food, wealth, and possessions? Okay, what hungry ghosts suffer with deprivation, not having, you know, what they need, while they have food, wealth, and possessions? Wealthy people who are so bound by miserliness that they cannot enjoy their own wealth. It's true, isn't it? You know, it's like physically they might have wealth and possessions and all sorts of things, but the mind is in this state of poverty, of I don't have enough, I don't have financial security, I can't be generous because if I give it away, I won't have it. So I've got to make as much as I can and hold it all for myself and for my family because that's the only way to be secure. I know that mind state very well, you know. And I really saw in my own practice how that, in my own life, I should say, because from before I was a Buddhist, through when becoming a Buddhist and afterwards, how that mind state actually, I think, ripened in a lot of external poverty at one point, too. Yeah, I mean, there was the internal feeling of poverty while I had a lot, like this, and then it ripened into an external poverty when I was living in India with hardly anything, and in Europe too, and then it only changed when I started dealing with my miserliness, you know, and when I had to deal with my miserliness, then, it was interesting, then, you know, after some time, the external situation also changed. Quite interesting, yeah? But here it's really talking about the internal state of being like a hungry ghost, you know, because the hungry ghosts, they always, the mind state is one of deprivation. I don't have, I need, I want, you know, and so they're always running around looking for food, looking for water. And because the mind is, and people are born into that state because of miserliness, and because of great attachment. So they're always looking for things, and yet whatever they get, you know, they may have food, but it looks like filth, so they can't eat it. They may have water, but and they see water and they run towards it, and it evaporates. And so this is always their karmic vision, you know, because the mind is a mind state of poverty, of I don't have. Yeah, and so it manifests for them, you know, as an external environment too. And then even when they get what they want, they can't ingest it because their throats are too narrow. So that's like, you know, human beings running around looking for everything. You finally get what you want, but then you can't enjoy it. Or the hungry ghost, even they get it into their stomach as it turns into flames. So it's like many people, you know, finally they get what they want, they hold on to it, and then it, you know, it turns into one problem after another problem for them. Yeah. And so it all stems from the mental state of miserliness, of like, I can't share, I can't give, I've got to keep for myself. And it's a mental state of fear. You know, if I give, I won't have. Mm-hmm. So, of course, the antidote to that is to cultivate generosity, which is a mind that takes delight in giving. To be generous, the important thing about being generous is not the amount we give, you know, but it is the mind state that wants to share, the mind state that likes to give. That's the generous mind. So even if you don't have very much to give, you can still practice generosity, You know, as you know, we saw by over this last weekend when we had the consecration for Chenrezig Hall, one woman stood up and said, "I'm a low income person, but I, you know, I felt so good giving my $10 for Chenrezig Hall to be built." So you can see it right there. I mean, her motivation was incredible, wasn't it? I was so moved by what she said. You know, because her generosity was really coming from the heart. So it's, you know, we can practice generosity no matter how much we have. The idea is to cultivate that state of mind. Practicing generosity also, it means being wise in how we give. Okay? So it isn't any time somebody comes and asks us for something that we give it. Because if the person is going to misuse it, if it's going to cause them harm in some way, then it's not generous to give them what they want. For, you know, the example I always use is if somebody has a substance abuse problem and they come to you asking for money and you know they're going to use it to get alcohol or drugs, it is not generosity giving it to them. You know, you're more generous saying no and I will help you go to a treatment center. Yeah. So we have to be wise. You know, similarly, somebody wants weapons. You're not generous by giving them a weapon. Okay, or somebody wants poison. You don't give them poison. So we have to use our wisdom. Yeah, it's not just kind of giving to whoever for whatever reason. Yeah, but really giving in a wise way and with a very happy heart. Yeah, and then that not only creates the karma for to have wealth, in future lives, maybe also in this life, but definitely in future lives. But it also frees us from the pain of miserliness. And that miserly mind is so painful. I mean, you've all heard my maroon sweater story, yeah, and how painful that was, and my difficulty in giving, you know, 25 paisa in India so beggars can have a cup of tea, and how much, you know, my own mind was tormented by miserliness. You know, I mean, my own feeling was unhappy. And then, of course, the karma I created until I, like, you know, kind of got myself going. Because I could hear my teacher, Geshe-la Nawandarge, in the back of my mind, always, you know, talking about this, you know. And then when you cultivate the mind to give, then you're really much happier now, as well as in the future. Comments or questions?
And he was formally running towards a beggar. And I saw that the students later on also when he had won the trip and he had to go into a train and there was a beggar on the train station. And the remaining monastics, really they formally ran towards the monastic, towards the beggar and encircled them and some of the other students too and gave them all these little coins and got on
it. Yeah. Like I said, it doesn't mean you give to everybody in India. Sometimes you know, if you give to one person, pretty soon you can't walk down the street. Yeah, so even for your own safety and ability to move, sometimes you can't do it. But you can find other ways to give. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes, I mean, yeah, you really have to discipline that mind. Yeah. Else? Yeah. So sometimes you see people who are quite wealthy living with that state of mind that is really very, very painful. And then people who don't have very much, who really share and have a very happy mind. You know, I really see that when I compare some of my experiences living in India to experiences here in the West. You know, how wealth and poverty is a state of mind, not what you actually have. And how it's impossible to ever have financial security. Impossible. No matter how much you have, if your mind doesn't change, you never have financial security. Never. Yeah? So, that too is really a state of mind.